Good evening. In the news tonight, fallout over the Paris attacks, fear-mongering over jihadists infiltrating the refugee population, concerns over the sale of a public library to a real estate developer, and momentum is growing for 100% renewables. With these and other stories in New York, I'm Linda Perry, and this is some of the news for Thursday, November 19, 2015. House Republicans today voted on a bill to change the vetting process for refugees. It would include more background checks from the FBI. Representative Benny Thompson of Mississippi is a ranking member of the House Homeland Security Committee.
I'm proud to say that people who are abused, people who are oppressed, can still look to this country, follow the rules, and if those rules are properly applied, they can look to America as somewhere they can call home, because most of those individuals applying for refugee status can't go home.
But on the other side of the aisle, fear-mongering.
ISIS is at war with the United States.
Texas Representative Ted Poe.
The question is America at war with ISIS? I'm not so sure, since we don't have a strategy to defeat ISIS. Other than if we are attacked, shelter in place, hunker down, get more security guards around the Capitol, use the tunnels rather than walk outside. That's what we were told after the Paris attacks.
The House voted on stronger measures which would halt refugee processing while a new protocol is established. President Obama said he would veto the Republican legislation calling new requirements untenable. Bill Frelick is director of Human Rights Watch's Refugee Human Rights Program. He says he wants people to know that there is a distinction between people who commit acts of terrorism and refugees.
A refugee, by definition, is a person who is fleeing persecution, and there is an exclusion clause in the Refugee Convention that excludes from refugee status anyone that would commit war crimes, crimes against humanity, and the kinds of atrocities that we saw in the Paris attack. So someone posing as a refugee is not a refugee.
While half of the governors across the U.S. have said they oppose allowing Syrian refugees into their states, New York's Andrew Cuomo says this goes against American values. And New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio is attacking New Jersey Governor Chris Christie over the fate of these Syrian refugees. Christie said refugees fleeing Syria should not be admitted to the U.S. because they can't be properly vetted. Bill de Blasio.
This is a nation of immigrants, and we are sitting here in the city that has the Statue of Liberty in it, that is the epitome of welcoming immigrants over generations. And by the way, those immigrants were in many, many cases fleeing violence and persecution. This is not a new reality in human history. And I'm certain some of those immigrants were Governor Christie's forebears. So I find it absolutely hypocritical for anyone to say, let us shut our borders to people who are victims of violence, to innocent people who are fleeing a humanitarian crisis. That is un-American.
Meanwhile, a newly released video by the so-called Islamic State group shows images of Times Square. Some of the video footage is old, but the NYPD says it reaffirms the message that the city remains a top target for extremists. Today, New York City's mayor said the city won't be intimidated. Stephen Davis, the NYPD's deputy commissioner for public information, said while there's no current or specific threat to the city right now, we will remain at a heightened state of vigilance and will continue to work with the FBI, the Joint Terrorism Task Force, and the entire intelligence community. Governor Cuomo said he directed state agencies to enhance their preparedness after the Paris attacks, which killed 129 people last week. While much attention is being paid to the attacks by the so-called Islamic State in Paris and Beirut and on the downing of a Russian passenger plane in the Sinai Peninsula last month, another militant group, Boko Haram, with suicide bombers, has been killing civilians in towns packed with refugees. Yesterday, the group used suicide bombers to kill at least 34 and wound 80 in a Nigerian marketplace. and late yesterday they killed another 15 people and injured 53 more in a northern Nigerian city. Suicide bombings by the militant group have increasingly been carried out by women and girls, some as young as 10 years old. Unlike many of the bombers used by IS in Iraq and Syria, there are concerns that Nigerians are being deployed against their will. Turkey's president has urged Muslim nations to unite against the extremist groups that he says are tarnishing Islam. President Erdogan says Islamic countries have a responsibility to stand hand in hand and show a clear and principled position against the Islamic State group, Al-Qaeda, and Boko Haram. And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York. In local news, Mayor de Blasio is announcing a $2.6 billion investment to help tackle homelessness in the city. He said the city will use the money to create 15,000 housing units over 15 years. Those supportive housing units would be paired with services to help domestic abuse victims, veterans, and those living on the street. At City Hall, there's a contentious issue playing out. It's over a proposal to sell the Brooklyn Heights Library to real estate developer Hudson Properties. According to Michael White of Citizens Defending Libraries, this proposal harkens back 8 years ago to when the city sold the Donnell Library across from the Museum of Modern Art on East 53rd Street in Manhattan.
This is basically a replication of the Donnell deal that the public was never allowed to weigh in on, and we've got some of the same people in the background. It was sold off suddenly, secretively, for virtually no money. When you do the math, they got maybe $25 million to sell it. A 50-story building has replaced it at the site. The penthouse apartments going for $60 million. Individual apartments are $20 million apiece.
The Brooklyn Public Library System says it needs $300 million in capital improvements. The plan would demolish the Brooklyn Heights branch and replace it with a 36-story luxury condominium. Brooklyn Council member Stephen Levin.
This proposal is, in its essence, a disposition of city-owned land and the development rights that are on top of it. Now, right now, those development rights are unused.
Levin has been in the New York City Council since 2009. He says this is probably the most controversial issue he has had to deal with land use-wise in his tenure as a city council member.
Is this a fair deal for the community, for Brooklyn in general, for the library system? Are we getting an appropriate value? And is the replacement library space going to be commensurate with what's being given up?
Brooklyn Heights Community Board 2 and the City Planning Commission have both approved the Hudson Plan. Now the next step is for the Land Use Committee to vote on the proposal. Then it goes to the full City Council. A vote is expected by the end of December. Momentum for 100% renewables is picking up following President Obama's rejection of the Keystone XL pipeline, Governor Cuomo's rejection of the Port Ambrose liquefied natural gas facility on the Long Island Sound, and Mayor de Blasio's call for divesting the city's pension funds from coal. The federal government also just sold several leases for offshore wind off of New Jersey. This evening, the People's Climate Movement is holding a forum on how to get 100% clean energy by 2030. Mark Dunley has more.
Buildings now account for more than 75% of the city's carbon footprint. A reduction in the footprint was started 6 years ago by Mayor Bloomberg. He began requiring buildings larger than 50,000 square feet to do energy audits. The idea was that building owners would voluntarily do energy retrofits where they could save money. But that didn't happen, so now advocates want the city to mandate the energy retrofits. Advocates also want the city to transition to 100% renewable energy by 2030. This is not just for electricity, but for all energy, including transportation and heating and cooling. As a first step, the city has decided to purchase 100% of its own electricity, about $600 million a year, from new renewable energy sources. Groups want a big share of this to be offshore wind off of Long Island and the Rockaways. With Governor Cuomo last week vetoing the Port Ambrose liquefied natural gas project off the Long Island, activists say that area is now available for offshore wind. This is Mark Dunley, WBAI News, New York.
This evening at 6:30, there's a forum at the Transport Workers Union to explain how to transition to 100% renewable energy. This is at the Transport Workers Union, 195 Montague Street in Brooklyn. There will be local activists as well as national speakers from Greenpeace and Food and Water Watch. That begins at 6:30. The news was produced this evening with help from Mitchell Cohn and Mark Dunley. I'm Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.